Thank you, Mr. Rusk. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those who might be at home viewing on the webcast. Well, I thought when I left the house this morning, I said, oh, no, it's the 4th of July, people heading to the beach. It's going to be, you know, traffic backed up everywhere, but to much of my delight, it was a smooth sail over here, so that was very much appreciated. Maybe it's either too early or too late for them. I don't know which, but hopefully it's clear sailing on the way back. But anyway, today being the Independence Day, I hope you're ready for some fireworks. No, but on the drive over here, driving an hour and 15, 20 minutes or so, you have a lot to think about. But I was thinking about, you know, Independence Day. Well, it made me think about my Independence Day, which happened in February the 15th, 1975, when I acquired my independence, free from bondage from Satan, the day that I was baptized. So in the sense that we all have our own personal Independence Day from Satan's bondage. I also remember that 1976, the 200th anniversary of our nation. I was in Big Sandy, Texas, at Ambassador College, and we had a big celebration, bicentennial celebration. But anyway, brought back some memories from the past. I saw this morning in reference to the announcement that Mr. Mooningham read. Well, now everyone's coming out of the woodwork. Now the polygamists and people, they think they should have their rights the same as the gay marriage people, that now they think they should be able to marry as many people as they want. You know, the gay people can marry. So it's like Mr. Mooningham said, it's only going to get worse. Now we got this snowball started, so who knows where it's going to stop. But we know it's going to get worse. We know that, you know, there is coming a time, and maybe we're in the midst of it somewhat, that good will be evil and evil will be good. You know, sin will be something everybody wants to do and thinks everybody should do. But in reality, of course, it's just the opposite. Or Irie to our friends from Jamaica. If you've been to Jamaica, you probably know what that means, but anyway, I gave a sermon a couple of years ago. It was dealing with the tongue, and I pictured, and in James' word, the tongue is pictured as a raging forest fire. And in that sermon, I did discuss a little bit, to some degree, about a subject that I want to talk about today. I am nobody's friend. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and I ruin lives. Who am I? I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. Victims are helpless against me. Who am I? They can't protect themselves against me because, you see, I have no name and I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. Who am I? I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, once I destroy character, it can never be the same. I am nobody's friend. I topple governments. I ruin and destroy marriages and relationships. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and even indigestion. Who am I? See, I spawn suspicion. I generate grief and heartache. I make innocent people cry in their pillows at night. Even my name hisses as it's spoken. Who am I? I am gossip. I am called gossip. There's party gossip, telephone gossip, e-gossip, church gossip, blogging gossip, what do you want to call it? Now we have the Instagram, we have Facebook, we have Twitter or Tweeter or whatever it's called. But it's so easy for people to gossip now. I don't know. How do people keep track of all that stuff? I don't know. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't try to do much of that. As Mrs. Pierboom found out, I don't get into the email stuff. That I like. I answer my emails. At least I try to. She was chastising me for not answering her email, which I apologize for that. But anyway, Instagram, Twitter, I don't. If you have time for that, great, but I certainly don't. Anyway, these words that I read about, who am I, were written by an unknown author, and it illustrates the seriousness and the damage that can occur when we partake of, or someone else partakes of, gossip. Well, we've all heard the phrase, and maybe we've even used it. Hopefully, if we did use it, we were much younger. But it says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, we certainly realize that that is simply not the truth. Sure, we might use these words to counter insults, maybe people that have hurled at us or have spoken to us. But in reality, we know that words can hurt. Words can cut very deep into our inner core, can hurt us very deeply. Words can do tremendous damage. Harmful words, as I said, that cut deep and leave lasting and painful wounds. You know, as carnal human beings, we all at times have trouble controlling our tongue. In so many areas of our society, the tongue is misused and utilized in a very negative way. You know, look at the, it's already starting the political thing that's going on. When we're still over a year and a year and a half away. But it's already starting. The political elections, people communicate and espouse things about other people in an attempt to do what? To make themselves, those people look bad in an attempt to make themselves look good. And to what? To get more votes. Well, today we're going to see, what is God's view of gossip? And is gossip okay? I mean, if it's the truth, why is it not okay? Well, we're going to see, is that true? And we're going to see, why do we gossip? Why do people gossip? What is the cause of gossip? And what is the effect of gossip? And the all-important question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we stop it? How do we rid our lives of gossip? If we're doing it, how do we stop it? Or if we see it occurring, what do we do? How do we stop it? How do we deal with gossip? How do we deal with gossip if someone comes to us and they begin speaking rumors or tidbits or innuendos or insinuations about someone else? What do we do? Well, let me say at the onset, before we answer all these questions, that it is not my purpose to correct anyone. I have no one in mind, no people or persons in mind giving the sermon. My purpose today is to inform, to instruct, to teach, not to correct. That is not my job. Well, first of all, what is gossip? Well, here are some different meanings that I came across. Some of them may cross over a little bit, but gossip is communicating unnecessary information at the possible cost of the character or reputation of another. Gossip is using the tongue as an underground radio station. Gossip is sharing information about another person without their presence without their consent. Gossip is a three-way conversation with one-third missing. It's unauthorized meddling, sometimes masqueraded as spiritual concern. And I'll talk more in depth about that a little bit later. It's discussing anything about another, the context of which would be altered were he or she present. You know, if the person was standing there, would you still be saying the same thing? In most cases, not. It's a vial of poison waiting to be released into the body of Christ. And it's anything true or untrue shared about another which is unauthorized or unnecessary. And finally, gossip is an unacceptable intrusion into someone's privacy at the expense of their character or reputation. Now, of course, gossip is it's not some new invention. It's not something that's just come about because of our social interaction via the, you know, the web or the internet or Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Gossip has been around for a long time. There's many examples in God's Word that deal with gossip and the effects of it and what happens and what causes it. And like I said, God's Word is filled with scriptures and principles warning us and trying to get us not to partake of gossip and what it can do. So with gossip being defined, we need to see what is the root cause of gossip. If we had to come up with one root cause, what would that be? And it's not the other person. So to begin with, let's look at that. And you're probably, you recognize this scripture in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. This wasn't left here from last week, was it? Just kidding. But anyway, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the truth of his doings. You know, God is watching our heart. God is searching our heart. God is testing our heart on a daily basis to see where we are coming from. What is our motive? But you see, our human heart, our attitude, our mind and approach is basically wicked. We are a carnal people. Our mind is enmity against God. And only when we receive God's Holy Spirit and have that direct contact with God and the use of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us, then and only then can we begin to do the things which honor and please God, not the things which He doesn't honor and the things that don't please Him. So it's this wicked heart that directly affects the tongue. In Matthew 24, going to the New Testament, Matthew 24 and verses 34 and 35, a minister who's a friend of mine in another church area was telling me the story, because I was talking to him about this subject, and he was telling me the story about a little lady in his church area that was going about gossiping. And it got to the point where almost everybody in the whole congregation was angry at one another because of the gossip of this one little lady. She was pretty much destroying the whole church area. And different leaders in the congregation had talked to her, but it had no effect. So finally it came down to where he had to talk to her. You know, this has got to stop. And her attitude was, well, if that's the way everybody wants to be, I'm just not going to talk to anybody. I'm just not going to say anything. See how everybody likes it then. You know, what's wrong with that answer, that response? She was missing the whole point. She wasn't seeing it in her heart what she was doing. She wasn't seeing that what she was doing was causing division in the congregation and causing everybody to be angry at each other. She wasn't worried about correcting herself. You know, she had the wrong response. But thankfully, there was a happy ending to this story. The lady did see the error of her way. She did repent. She did change. And there's a happy ending. And thankfully, there is. Anyway, okay, Matthew 24. Matthew 12 in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You know, how can you be evil and speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So, in essence, the cause of gossip, the cause of the misuse of the tongue, comes from where? It comes from within. It comes from our heart. Let's look at Matthew 15 over a couple of chapters. Matthew 15 and verse 18. Jesus again says here in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Our mouth generally says what's inside of us. Usually what's in our heart is what comes out of our mouth. All of us, sooner or later, will reveal what's in our hearts from the words that we speak, from what we utter with our mouths, what we say, how we communicate. In essence, we reveal who we are and where we are. Let's look at one more verse under this section. What is the cause of gossip? Back in James. In James 4. Verses 10 through 12. Here the Apostle James is writing to the scattered brethren at this point, and he tells them in verse 10 of James 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Of course, this should be one of our goals in life, to trust in God, to humble ourselves before God, and let God lift us up. We shouldn't be about exalting ourselves. Of course not. We all know that. Let God lift us up. Now you might ask, well, why did you pick this verse to talk about the cause of gossip? Well, isn't it true that a lot of people gossip or put other people down in an effort to lift themselves up? And that's why there's so much rhetoric in the elections, the political process, that people feel they have to put someone else down to make themselves look better. You know, they come from the angle that if I can make this person look bad, it will in turn make me look that much better, and I'll get more votes. After all, that's what it's all about, getting more votes. Well, going on in verses 11 and 12. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you? Who are we? Who am I to judge another? So it's our place to be humble before God. It's our place to let God lift us up. It's not our place to put others down through gossip or misuse of our tongue. You know, we don't want to be judges of the law. We don't want to be judges of our brothers and judges of our sisters. But sooner or later, as we interact with one another, you know, inevitably we're going to say things that we wish we hadn't said, that serve no purpose, that serve no good, that maybe we have to repent of and apologize for. In fact, you know, like I said, we'll do just the opposite. Our tongues will fail us. Our minds, our heart will fail us and let us say things to tear down another person that will allow us to divide rather than to unite. And, of course, that's not what we need to be doing. We need to be uniting one another. Of course, that's not what God wants. And James warns us of that here in these few verses. So as a root cause of gossip, we have to look deep within ourselves. We have to look deep within our hearts to see things from the viewpoint that, you know, what we are saying, what we are speaking, how we're communicating with others or to others about other people reveal what's truly in our hearts. And brethren, God knows what's in our hearts. God knows where we're coming from. So as the root cause of gossip, like I said, we have to really look deeply at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves in the mirror, both physically and phonetically, to see where we are and what we're doing, and that if this having a positive outcome. We have to be humble and allow God to do the lifting up and exalting us, and not we try to do the lifting of ourselves. Well, how do we recognize gossip? What does it look like? Is it shaped a certain way? Is it only certain words used? How do we know that what we might be listening to or what we might be doing is gossip? Well, gossip is one of the most dangerous sins because it is so subtle and it's so ambiguous. And a lot of times people are unable to recognize it. And sometimes they might, but it might be too late. Maybe the damage has already been done. But we need to watch and be on alert against gossip whenever we hear secret information being circulated or we hear someone else's name used in a conversation. You know, if you're standing around talking and people start talking about someone that's not in that circle, you know, we have to be careful that what we're doing or what we're allowing ourselves to partake of is gossip. Gossip exists whenever persons talk about others in less than a favorable way. The root cause of gossip is negativity, which we've already learned comes from the heart. It's judgmentalism, it's slander, and the like. And slander is definitely something that we don't want to be partaking of destroying someone's reputation or character. You know, we all want to be tools in God's hands. We don't want to be instruments of the devil dividing and hurting other people. We want to make sure that we're being used of God in the right way to unite and to help and serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if we hear gossip, we hear something that we think might be gossip, we need to be careful. You know, gossip often masquerades as concern for others. Rumors or gossip will seem more palatable if they first hide behind a pretentious expression of concern. You know, someone might say, you know, I hate to say anything. You know, I really hate to say anything about this person, but I'm really concerned about them. You know, you have to really be on guard against that to make sure that they aren't coming to you just to get an agreement to partake in gossip. At other times, a gossiper will seek you out as their confidant, you know, to unload their heavy heart. They might say, you know, I'm very troubled about so-and-so, and I don't know who else to go to but you. You know, you need to be careful. And it might be a genuine concern, but you have to be careful that you aren't allowing gossip to creep into your conversation. You know, don't take the bait. Don't allow yourself to get sucked into the vortex of gossip. Because once you're in, you know, it's just like a whirlpool. You know, if you get sucked into a tornado, it's very hard to get out of once you're in. In all reality, the person that is gossiping about someone is not sincerely concerned about solving the problem. They're only concerned about talking about it. Maybe they're trying to stir the pot, if you will, making things difficult for them. As we said, a gossip thrives on the negative. They thrive on the controversial. They thrive on the sensationalism of things. They try to make things more enticing for people to partake of that gossip. You know, they sensationalize everything because it's more interesting, isn't it? It's more enticing for you to get involved in using that gossip. But a person that is genuinely concerned about solving someone's problem or helping them to get through a situation or whatever, of course we know and understand they need to go to that person. They don't need to come to you. Go to that person or go home and get on your knees and pray for that person. The gossiper, the person that gossips, is like a spider looking for a prey to lure them into their trap of gossiping. They may confide to you secrets or private concerns about other people that maybe you don't need to know or even should know. Perhaps in consolement, you may express your half-hearted agreement. You know, before we realize what we're doing, maybe we've agreed with them, maybe we've let them speak on and on and on, and maybe we've even joined in the conversation and said things about them as well. Well, consequently, the gossip will eventually repeat the process with someone else. But the next time, the next person they talk to, what happens? Your name is now in the mix. your name is out there and agreeing with them and partaking of that gossip. So your name is now being used to spread that gossip, you know, in the second person, I guess you would say. Well, there are times when people need to confide their own problems with a close friend, when they feel that whom they feel they can trust. But we need to avoid revealing anything to a person who gossips. You know, they can't be trusted. If we know a person is a gossip, we need to be careful. A person who gossips will betray your confidence sooner or later. If they betray someone else, inevitably they will betray you. So be on guard. Well, what are the side effects of gossip? Probably one of the best ways to learn not to gossip, to learn not to be a talebearer, is to feel the effects of it. Let's read in Proverbs 18. You know, if we felt that knife stab in our back or whatever, we know how it feels. In Proverbs 18, in verse 8. It says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Brethren, they aren't flesh wounds. They go down to the innermost part. They go deep inside of our bodies, our souls, and our hearts. Adam Clark refers to the talebearer as one who whispers, as one that is a busybody or a meddling croaker. When someone whispers, when you see someone whispering, doesn't the thought run through your mind that, you know, are they talking about me? You know, why are they whispering? What are they trying to hide? And it might not always be the case, but sometimes when we hear or see people whispering, we wonder, you know, why are they being so secretive? Are they talking about me? Are they talking about someone else? For some reason, though, they're whispering because they don't want others to know or hear what they're saying. Why is that? A meddling croaker? Well, that's one who grumbles or habitually predicts evil or speaks evil to others. So definitely, don't allow yourself to be a meddling croaker. Anyway, their wounds go down deep, as we said, into one that allows himself or herself to listen, to partake of his or her insinuations. You know, Satan thrives on juicy tidbits and half-truths about people. He can use those things he can use readily to divide us, to separate us, to wound one another, to hurt one another. We certainly don't want to be doing that. Brethren, if we have felt the ill effects of gossip, if we have felt that knife stab in our back, you know, we have one of two choices to make. Well, we can have the attitude or approach that, you know what has been done to me? I had that knife stabbed in my back. I had to put up with it. I had to endure it. So I'm going to do the same thing to others. How are they any better than me? If I had to go through it, why not they? Or we can have the other attitude and approach. You know, it's been done to me. And I didn't like the way it made me feel. I didn't like the way it hurt. I didn't like the wounds that it did, that it caused me. And I certainly don't want to make someone else feel that way, ever. Of course, we know the approach that we should have as Christians, as brothers and sisters. Well, if this has happened to you, if someone has spread rumors and gossip about you, if someone has been a talebearer about you, you know, brethren, I'm deeply sorry, because I know how it feels, and I know how it hurts, and it cuts deep, and I'm sorry for that. But if this has happened to you, if you've been hurt or wounded deeply, I hope you make the right decision to stop that cycle, to let it stop with you. Don't let it be propagated by you or through you to someone else. We must stop it with us. Someone, somewhere has got to break that cycle. We have to tear that chain in two Don't let it be propagated and continue on to others. And anybody can break that cycle. A spouse can break the cycle. Parents can break the cycle. Children can break the cycle. Brothers, sisters, employers, employees, bosses, friends, and most certainly, brethren, we as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must and we have to break that cycle because we know that God hates gossip. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard to, but we have to. We have to work hard at breaking that cycle and stopping it in its tracks. Sometimes for the cycle to be broken, you know, someone has to feel enough pain from it to say, you know what, that's it. Sometimes we have to be hurt so bad that I'm going to stop it right here. I'm not going to let it go on. I know how it makes me feel, and I certainly don't want to do that to someone else. That's the attitude we've got to have. That's the attitude and approach that God wants from us, to stop it. Don't let it continue. I'm not going to inflict that pain on anyone else. I'm not going to allow that to be done to another brother or another sister. I'm just not going to do it any longer. That's the approach that we have to have. If we're able to do that, if we're able to stop it and not let it continue, then the pain maybe that we went through was certainly not in vain, was it? We endured the pain so that it could stop. And then it's not in vain. But the gossip has stopped. Someone else hasn't felt that same pain. So to remove that link in the chain, so this trend can't continue and won't continue, and at someone else's expense, we have to stop it, don't we? We can't let it go on. Well, another effect of gossip is down in verse 17 of Proverbs 18, staying here in Proverbs 18. Let's read verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. So another side effect of gossip is that it harms others because it's undefendable testimony. Undefendable testimony. You know, any story that we hear can seem true until we hear the other side and get all the facts. This is like going to court and someone accusing you and you not being able to give your side of the story. You know, can you imagine Judge Judy in her court? The plaintiff is giving their side of the story and then the defendant wants to give their side. And she said, you be quiet. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm only going to listen to this person. Well, that's what's going on in gossip. That's what's happening. It's undefendable testimony because you might not even be there. You might not even be present. You might not even want to be heard. And that's why gossip is so wrong and even deadly, because it only tells one side of the story. We only hear the facts on one side. The other person may not be there to defend himself or tell his side of the story. If you've ever been a part of a situation where a decision or judgment was made against you and you weren't able to give your side of the story, it hurts very deeply. It can be a very traumatic experience. So please don't make rash judgments or decisions without getting all the facts about a situation or a person. And most certainly don't try to get all the facts through gossip, because 9 times out of 10, they're probably not going to be true. You know, have you ever played a game where, for instance, if I started a sentence over here with, and the time it got to this end or to the back, it was nothing the same. You know, we think it's funny when the game's over and we find out, well, that's nothing like what I started with. Well, can that not happen with gossip? You know, it gets distorted, it gets us, and who suffers for it? The person that it's about. You know, they might be suffering greatly. They're hurt deeply because of what was said, and when it started out, it was nothing like that. So that's another reason that gossip can hurt us, because most of the time it gets so distorted that it's not even the truth. Most of the time it gets back to where the sentence resembled at the beginning, it's nothing like it. And the longer and longer it goes, the more damage can be done if we allow it to continue. So if we don't have all the facts, you most certainly aren't qualified to pass on information to others about others. So don't gossip about someone and not afford them the opportunity to defend themselves. Well, what is another effect that gossip can have? What is another way it can harm or destroy? Please turn, if you will, back a couple of chapters in Proverbs to Proverbs 16 and verse 28. We might need an intermission in this sermon. No, I'm just kidding. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. A whisperer or a gossiper separates the best of friends. We certainly don't want that to happen. Gossip can quickly end a friendship, a relationship. Maybe this relationship and friendship took years and years to build and to become close, but yet only one time, one thing that's said out of context or said wrong that may be not entirely true can destroy that friendship. A good way to end friendship is to violate a friend's confidence or destroy a friend's reputation through gossip. If they're a true friend, do we really want to do that? The people that we're friends with, the people that we're close with, we love them and we want to show love to them. We don't want to gossip about them. But when we participate in gossip, we are subscribing to an underground newspaper whose sole purpose is what? To destroy relationships. That's one reason some people have a lot of trouble building strong friendships and relationships, because, you know, when it comes down to it, they can't control their tongue. Their tongue gets them in trouble all the time. They don't know how to control their tongue. They allow themselves to be partakers of gossip and show strife and distrust. Over in verse 9 of chapter 17, it says, "He that covers a sin seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very close friends." Again, we're being admonished to promote love by not publicizing a fault if it's not going to accomplish anything but harm. If the information is not needed to make a judgment, then why bring it up or make it public? If we choose to repeat the offense of some quarrel or some fault, when it should have been long ago forgotten, you know, we have to be prepared to lose friends, because inevitably that's going to happen. We need to choose love over gossip. Anytime and all the time. It'll make the situation better in the long run. We don't want to lose our friends. We don't want to lose our brothers and sisters in Christ because we are being a gossip. Another effect of gossip is it dissolves peace and causes tension. It dissolves peace and causes tension. Let's look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no gossip, the strife or tension ceases. You know, for gossip to be able to continue, for gossip to be able to be propagated, there has to be a receptacle and there has to be fuel. You know, if you add wood to a fire, it continues burning. But if you stop supplying that fuel to that fire, it goes out, doesn't it? It eventually goes out. And the same thing can be applied to gossip. Don't keep adding fuel to the fire. Be careful not to allow ourselves to be a terror receiver, a tail receiver of the tail bearer. In any case, the receiver is as guilty as the bearer. The fact is, if no one will listen to the gossip, if a gossip is coming to you, but at some point you say, "No more, I'm not going to listen to you," then that gossip will cease coming to you. They won't keep coming to you if you're not going to hear them out. And it doesn't matter if what they're saying is true. Even if it is a truth, you know, what is their motive? What do they hope to accomplish by spreading this gossip, albeit true, maybe? But what is their motive? What do they hope to accomplish? Is it going to have a positive outcome in the end? Is it going to lift this person up, elevate that person, exalt that person? Or is it going to tear them down, you know, and maybe separate a friendship? Just because it may be some degree of truth doesn't mean it will bring about a positive result. So don't be a gossip and don't promote tension in those around you and make them feel uncomfortable. Gossip does promote tension. Gossip can and will disqualify us from roles of leadership. Can gossip disqualify us from roles of leadership? You know, if we are known in the church, at work, school, or wherever in our community, if we are known as a gossip, how can we function effectively? How can people follow us? How can people be led by us? How can people agree with us or be led by us if we can't function because we are busy being a gossip? We can't be trusted. How will people be able to confide in us? People will be hesitant to be led by a leader that is guilty of being a gossip. How will others be able to entrust us in confidence if we can't be trusted? You know, we're not going to confide in someone that we know that we can't be, they can't be trusted. If we know that sooner or later they're going to, everything you tell them is going to be on everyone else's doorstep, you know, we're not going to confide in them. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, turn there. We can, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, we can read about qualifications of certain leadership roles within the church. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives, and for our purpose certainly applies to our the husbands as well, even so must they be grave, not slanderers, not gossipers, sober and faithful in everything they do. You know, it makes perfect sense in that it would be unlikely that God would use someone in a leadership role in his church and his family if that person was an assassinator of people's character, if that person was a gossiper, if that person was going about separating and dividing his children. Do you think God would be willing to use that person? We all want to be tools, as I mentioned earlier. We want to be tools in the hands of God to be used to serve our fellow man, to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to be tools of destruction, tools of division. Those are used at the hands of Satan. Don't allow yourself to be a tool of Satan. And I was listening to a sermon in my truck on the way over here. And it was talking about the book of life and how that, you know, of course, we all want to be written in the book of life. But what if some point God, you do something or you're doing something that is opposite of what God wants us to do? Does God take the book and open up to where you're listed and say, I need to think this over here. Somebody get me an eraser. You know, we can't allow that to happen. We all want to be written. We all want to be in that book of life. When that book is opened, we all want to be there. We can't be doing something that serves no useful purpose, that can have harmful and divisive effects on God's church, on our families, in our communities, you know, and expect to be used of God, expect to have a unifying effect. It won't happen. Okay, is there a penalty for gossip? I mentioned a little bit about the book of life maybe being erased. But is there a penalty for gossip? You know, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about the penalty for gossip. We can't turn to all of them, of course, but let's turn to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, remember, here in the Old Testament, shows us the mind of God and what the mind of God was back then. Here in verse 16 of Leviticus 19, Leviticus 19 and verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am the Eternal. You know, clearly God was not talking about sending an email to someone. He was not talking about simple social interaction. Remember, a talebearer is someone who goes about spreading rumors or falsehoods about other people. You know, that's the whole purpose of certain magazines, isn't it? Certain tabloids or shows on TV. Their sole purpose, other than making lots of money, the bottom line, is to destroy people's reputations, destroy people's character. That's their sole purpose. Now we've got bloggers that do that. Again, where do people have the time? Well, the poison goes down deeply and leaves people, even if we allow ourselves to read them, maybe we aren't doing the actual writing or sending of these this material, but if we read them, you know, we can be affected by that as well, because maybe we read something about someone that might not be true, but yet we have a different opinion of that person now, don't we? We don't think the same about that person as we initially did. So let's turn now to Romans, back to the New Testament, Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 29. Here is Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's telling them, because man has become so wise in his own eyes and perverted God's truth, that he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Here in Romans 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, being filled with all fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, which is bad character, and whisperers. Where did we hear that about? Whisperers. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Not a whole lot of good in these verses. Inventory of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, which is inability to appease, or unmerciful. In verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, knowing what would be the end result of what they were doing, that they would commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here we see God puts backbiting, he puts whisperers. In essence, to some degree, gossip and the like, right in there with fornication, right in there with wickedness and even murder, is having the reward of death. So I think we can see and understand that gossiping, backbiting, being a talebearer of other people is a very serious offense to God in God's eyes. Let's go now to Psalms 15. Cast it up here. Psalms 15. Psalms 15, and we'll begin in verse 1. Ask the question, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Who's going to dwell in the presence of God? Who's that going to be? Verse 2. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So those that will be around God, those that will be in the family of God, are those that speak the truth from their heart. In verse 3, but he that backbites, not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, this is the type of person that will dwell with God in his kingdom, people that don't do these things. In verse 4, in whose eyes is a vile person condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own heart and changes not. So he, that's a backbiter, that continues unrepented of, will not be in God's kingdom. Notice Psalms 50. Psalms 50 shows that, you know, God doesn't always act speedily on the things. You know, God is a very patient God. Sometimes he lets the reins out a little bit. He lets people take the bait a little bit, if you will, over time, or over a long period of time, or a short time. But he will act. In verse 19 of Psalms 50, you give your mouth to evil, talking to the wicked here. Your tongue frames deceit. Do we allow our tongues to frame deceit? You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. In other words, you slander your brother. Do we slander our brother? Verse 21. These things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such as one of you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. God will eventually reprove these people. And it reminds me of the scripture over in Ecclesiastes that talks about, because God does not execute judgment speedily, you know, the sons of man continue to do the evil things, because, well, God hasn't done anything about it, so I guess it's okay. You know, God is letting people get away with it, albeit temporarily. If you look around in business, some people get ahead by backbiting. If you look in politics, people get ahead by backbiting. In religion, people get ahead by backbiting. And these people might think they're getting away with it, but someday, sometime, God will reprove these people. Their sense of freedom, if you will, is only temporary. Finally, is there a cure for gossip? Is there a cure for gossip? How do we stop gossip? How do we put an end to it? One way is to fill your idle time with good works. I've got several ways here, but one way is to fill your idle time with good works. Not to fill your idle time on Instagram, on blogging, on Twitter, talking about other people. Now, I'm not saying any of us are doing that here. I'm just cautioning on us that that's what a lot of people get sucked into and allow themselves to do. Spend all their time on the internet, on Twitter, or whatever. You see, gossip is often the fruit of idleness. You know, people have too much time on their hands. I wish that was my case. I'm sure you do too, but they don't have enough to do. With idle time, one might have the propensity to dabble in or to look into areas or activities that would be considered gossip. They might be considered a busybody or just a plain meddler. But the simple cure for the problem of gossip is to work, to be busy, to be serving, to doing good deeds to those that need our help, need our service. If we spend more time helping others and serving others, then we won't have the idle time that will allow us to be a busybody or to be a gossiper. Work at doing deeds to serve others, to do good works. Fill our time with service projects or just helping one of our family members, helping out a friend, helping out brothers and sisters in Christ, helping a neighbor. Doing these type of things will help supplant any idle time where we might have the tendency to do wrong things, to participate in gossip. Let's turn now, if you will, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5, we'll begin in verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has received the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton or to turn away from Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Here Paul is saying or describing that some widows in the church might be qualified for special roles in the church, special roles. But some of the younger widows are excluded because they have too much idle time on their hands, and they spend their time going from house to house gossiping, watching Days of Our Lives. Well, the point here is that idle time can be a snare. It can grab people to do things, to allow them to do things that maybe they might not normally do. And we certainly want to be cast as a busybody. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Here we learn that even servants of God, you, me, any of us, can fall prey to becoming a busybody if they aren't busy working and being productive like they should, like we should. So to cure gossip, we need to replace the idle time that we might have in our life with work, some type of service to family, friends, church, or community. You know, we've all heard, and I'm sure the quotation, idle hands are the devil's workshop. To a certain degree, that is definitely true. Idle time promotes more types of works of the flesh rather than does works of the spirit. We need and have to turn that around. We have to be more about busy, you know, acquiring and fulfilling the fruits of the spirit rather than the works of the flesh. Well, another thing that we can do to help stop gossip is to not talk to someone who talks a lot. Now, I'll explain that in a minute. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer or gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not in him that flatters with his lips. Now, the NIV reads it this way. A gossip betrays a confidence. So it avoid a man who talks too much. You know, if you want your secrets to be in safekeeping, if you want your discussions you have with someone to be kept in confidence, don't tell them to a gossip or they'll end up all over town sooner or later, probably sooner. So to stop gossip, don't listen to a gossip. Don't listen to someone who's going about busy being a gossip and being a talebearer. Turn now, if you will, to Proverbs, back to Proverbs in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll read verses 12 and 13. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible reads it this way. A man who, with good sense, holds his tongue, while a gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy man tries to quiet them. So, how do we want to be viewed? How do we want for people to see us and appreciate us as a trustworthy person or one who goes about spreading rumors? So the key to stopping gossip is not only to not participate in gossip, but to try to stop it at its source. How do we handle the situation when someone comes to us and starts to say things that we might say, wait a minute, that sounds a little bit like gossip. Gossip, how do we handle that? A friend of mine was telling me about how his wife handled it one time. A person came to her and started talking about someone. And so she just held up her hand and said, wait just a minute. Before you go on, I need to tell you that this person you're talking about is a very close friend of mine. So the person immediately changed their tone, turned around, and walked off. Now, they may have gone to someone else to tell it, but at least she didn't allow it to continue through her. And that's what we have to do. We have to stop it. Look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 in verse 20 and 21. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but where no wood is the fire, where there no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, where there is no gossip, where no gossip is being spread, the strife ceases. Verse 21, as coals are to the burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know, most people, after a while, if they keep coming to you with gossip and you slowly cut off the supply, if you repeatedly decline to receive them and your audience or to listen to them, you know, they'll quit coming to you. And they're not going to come to you if you aren't willing to hear them out or listen to them. If you aren't willing to carry on with this gossip, they'll stop coming to you. I guarantee it. When that happens, you have done your part to stop the cycle, haven't you? If we stop it, then we've done our part. Now, they may run and tell someone else, but at least we aren't the person that's allowing this gossip to carry on to be propagated. We've stopped it. At least this route through us is no longer being able to be carried out. Well, just as we shouldn't listen to gossip, we also shouldn't repeat it. Just as we shouldn't listen to gossip, we also shouldn't repeat it. Proverbs 10. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible relating to gossip. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hate stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. You know, when it comes down to it, if we know someone is a gossip, someone is going about spreading rumors, we need to be careful that we don't have the wrong attitude toward them as well. You know, whatever they're doing, and if it's wrong, you know, like it says here, love covers all the sin. We need to make sure that we don't mistreat this person or in essence, turn around and say bad things about them because of what they're doing. So we need to guard against that as well. Love covers all sin. Just ask yourself, what would or does God want me to do about it? How does God want me to handle it? How would Jesus Christ respond? And if we can answer those questions in the right way and come up with the right answers, then we'll know what to do. Proverbs 11, over one chapter. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. I know we all want to be considered faithful spirits. We don't want to go about spreading rumors. If we hear something bad about somebody, we need to conceal that. We don't need to continue spreading it and passing it on. We need to cover that sin with love. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Are we seeking love? But he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Here we see the contrast between love and gossip. We see the contrast between the effects of love and the effects that gossip can have. Well, which way will we choose? What is our responsibility in all of this? It's our responsibility not to repeat gossip, It's our responsibility not to listen to gossip. It's our responsibility to quiet the gossip, to shut the person down that's spreading gossip in the, in the best way that we can, the most loving way that we can. So let's strive to stop gossip by not listening to or repeating it. Brethren, gossip is never acceptable to God. Gossip doesn't solve anything. Gossip only causes more problems. Don't be the link in the chain that propagates gossip and slandering. Don't allow yourself to be a talebearer of others. Gossip is a cancer that can and will infest the body of Christ if we allow it to, and it spreads rapidly. Let's be part of the cure for that cancer, not the scourge we know as gossip. That scourge we know as gossip. Well, if we will do these things, God will honor us, and if we won't listen to gossip. Please turn back to Psalms. Psalms 15 and verse 1. Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. You know, God has a special place for those that lead a blameless life and that are truly sincere. Those that refuse to slander others, those that don't listen to gossip or speak gossip, that don't repeat gossip, and walks uprightly and doesn't do anything to harm his or her neighbor. You see, God takes gossip very seriously, and so should we. So what are some of the things that we need to remember about gossip? First, we need to remember that gossip is as sinful as murder and will suffer the same consequences unless there is repentance. God holds you accountable to your words. God holds me accountable for my words. The person who gossips to you about others also gossips to others about you. Remember that. Gossip and slander disqualifies persons for spiritual leadership. Gossip often masks as pretentious concerns for others. Gossip often thrives upon secrecy. And when the secrecy is removed, gossip is hampered. Gossip always contributes to a problem and never to a solution. Gossip always distorts and exaggerates. And gossip is never a reliable source of truth. Those who gossip and slander are not in right fellowship with God. In Romans 1, verses 28 through 32. Gossips use their mouth as a weapon, which is aimed at people, primarily people of God, to fulfill a purpose, to fulfill Satan's desire to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And hopefully we aren't allowing ourselves to use that weapon. Finally, in closing, let's look at, in closing here, at Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt, and I would certainly put gossip in that category. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If we're busy espousing things that edify one another, that lift up one another, then God is going to be much more pleased with us than if we are using gossip, which only destroys and divides. Use our mouth to edify and lift up. We have to learn to control what comes out of our mouth. We must make sure our words are used to lift up, to edify, and of course to ultimately glorify God. Brethren, as we strive to rid gossip out of our lives, as we strive to avoid gossip in every way, may God help us to do that, to rid gossip from our lives.